You won't need no angels. You won't need no luck. You won't need no sympathy. So won't you hold? Okay, hello and welcome to yet another episode of Kabaddi. It is really, really exciting now that the 16th Kabaddi World Cup. We know who the semi-finalists are, and it has been insane action over the last few days. Sahel out in Ahmedabad, how are you feeling? You must be rather tired after those games.
Yeah, my throat's taking a bit of a beating because we've had some good games coming into this one, but as you said, we finally have our four semi-finalists, and it's a good sign for the tournament that we had to wait for the final game of the league phase to find them. So, you know, it's good to see that the competition stayed pretty tight, and that final league phase game between Thailand and Japan was quite a contest.
Now, we'll come to that one later on, but for now, the hosts, India, as expected, they did qualify. They qualified second in Pool A, winning 69-18 against England. As we said, England were nowhere near Korea or India in the end, finishing fourth behind Bangladesh. The Indian performance after the Korean loss, has it been good enough from your point of view?
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, they started with a proper blip against the Republic of Korea. They weren't aggressive enough in that encounter, as we've talked about before. But since then, they've been utterly dominant. I mean, they won 54-20 versus Australia, 57-20 versus Bangladesh, 74-20 versus Argentina, and then hammered England 69-18. So, you know, they've proved their might after that. I mean, it's come against different and weaker oppositions, but Bangladesh, to beat them by 37 was quite a performance as well. So they've come out and showed really positive intent, and that's been really good to see, especially even in that last encounter versus England. They went hell for leather in the first half and really proved a point as well.
So you talk about the first half there. 45-6 is the biggest margin in the World Cup history. 39 points the difference. Nawal, 13 points. AJ Thacker, 11 points. And India, magnificent raiding and some really tight defence. That must be a bonus going into the semi-finals.
Yeah, it's fair to say India decimated England in that first half. England had no tackle points in the entire half, and that just goes to show you how good India's raiders were. Ajay Thakur and Pradeep Narwal really came to the party quite quickly and quite early. You know, they made it look so simple as well, which, you know, set the tone early. Sandeep Narwal came in with hit the first super eight of the match and also came in with some really strong pursuits. So, you know, it was an overall solid performance, and Surjeet in the cover position came in with some great dashes to add to his tackle point tally and came in with six tackles in the game. So it was a very complete performance by the Indian side.
Are the Indian public happy and confident?
Yeah, I think so. I think from what we've seen in the last three, four encounters, there's every need to be and every sort of right to be, because suddenly it's a side that knows that they've never lost a big World Cup or an Asian game. So, you know, they're playing like that side again, and we didn't see that in game number one.
And Korea will be delighted with the statement they made, going unbeaten through their pool. What are your expectations of... Will they change anything going into the knockouts?
Well, I should think not, because, you know, they actually tested their bench strength quite a bit after they beat India, and, you know, they had a couple of easy games. So that was good to see from them, because it just gives them the opportunity, in case someone doesn't fire in the semi-final, to bring someone off the bench and have them in that contest. So, you know, it's good to see that they did things like that to sort of just make them a more complete unit. But they look a really skillful side. You know, I'm not sure if they would go on to beat India again if they took them on. But remember, they're playing Iran in their semi-final now, and that's going to be a seriously good contest, because we don't really know what to expect from Iran. We haven't seen their full hand yet.
Now, just before we leave Pool A alone, the English performance, we sort of predicted that they would struggle against Korea. They'd struggled against Bangladesh. They then went on to lose heavily to India. Was their pool performance a fair reflection of their talents after the three heavy losses to the Asian teams, but good performances elsewhere?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, look, they didn't come in with massive expectations. I know they booked their flights back home before the semi-finals itself. So, you know, that's a sign and an indication that they knew sort of realistically what they were expecting. But having said that, they were possibly one of the most improved sides through the course of the tournament. And for me, they impressed me with their raiding skills. You know, Tejas Depala as a defender came to the fore. They struggled against a bigger side, so that's a bit of a concern, because the contrast between their performances versus the weaker sides and the better sides was quite high. So they need to understand how to play versus the better sides and just at least not look completely out of their depth. But having said that, not a bad performance at all.
Moving on to Pool B. Now, it takes some doing to compare the India-Korea game to anything else. But after all we've spoken about the talents of Iran, was them losing to Poland the biggest shock of the competition so far?
Yeah, it really was. It was something none of us expected, none of us saw coming. And they just seemed to let Poland dominate proceedings quite early. You know, I mean, it might be a tactical move to think that they wanted to avoid India in the semi-final, and that's sort of why they did it. But at the same time, it was a fine performance by Poland. Take nothing away from what they did. And, you know, for them, they went out and put a plan together, and Iran caved to it.
The eight-pack maestros, of course. Michael Spisko, all-round points from him, 12. But they had support as well. Pamaluk and Baranowicz coming off the bench for 8 raid points. That must have helped to support the captain of Poland to keep them going forward.
Yeah, Pamaluk's quite a handy raider. We've seen him come good in the previous encounters as well. And Baranowicz is one of the strongest guys I've seen on the court. So, you know, they've combined some really key raiders going with a few defenders who have struggled through the tournament. And their raiding has gotten better and better and better. They've understood the nuances of the game a bit more. And remember, all of these guys come from an American football background, so they know how to escape a tackle quite well.
And what was your view on the Iranians? Did you feel it was a... We have to be careful what we say here. Did you feel it was that they wanted to avoid India? Was it a deliberate loss? I mean, Mehraz Sheikh just 1 point for the game. They only had 2 points coming off the bench as well for the whole match.
Well, it's a tough one to call. I mean, it looked a little like they were playing their second string team. They weren't really pushing it at all. You know, some might say they were just trying to not avoid, I mean, they were trying to avoid any injuries, but also at the same time, yeah, possibly avoid India as well. And look, some might say it's not done. It's a tough one, but at the same time, it's a tactical move, isn't it? I mean, you want to make the finals of a World Cup, and you know, to do so, you play with a tactical game plan. So, you know, it's a tough one to call, really, and no one really knows what exactly happened unless you were in the Iranian camp. But at the end of the day, a scoreline shows a win for Poland over a mighty Kabaddi powerhouse, and they'll take it.
And what a win it was. Now, on to the game that decided it all, the game that decided the fate of the Kenyans. Kenya had been so magnificent. They'd snuck into the box seat with a 48-27 win over Japan. Then they expected a win over the USA, which they got. But they then had to sit and watch as Thailand and Japan played each other to see who would go forward into the semi-finals and, of course, how Group B, Pool B, would actually be made up. Who would be first, who would be second. Now, Sahel, I'm going to leave you to explain this one because it was an absolute thriller.
Yeah, it was quite an awesome contest because coming into it, the permutations and combinations were really quite complex. All three teams, Japan, Kenya and Thailand, had a chance of making it through. And just to explain to you how complex it was, let me just run you through it. If Japan won the contest by more than 33 points, that was the only way they were going to go through. If they won the contest by a margin of 8 to 33 points, then Kenya were going to go through. And Thailand just had to either win the contest or lose by under 7. And they were safe. So, I mean, coming into the contest, remember we spoke last time and I said, look, Thailand are my pick for the semifinals. They looked the most solid side. And I backed that completely. But the other little thing that came into the mix was if Thailand lost the contest and kept it to under 7, they would avoid playing India in the semifinals and they were going to play the Republic of Korea. So suddenly, you know, all this came into play and it made for just quite a saucy contest. And on court, Japan really took it to them. You know, they held them quite high. It was level pegging at the halfway mark, and then, you know, just finally in the final 5 to 6 minutes, Thailand started breaking away and put in a strong performance at the end to take the win away. And it's one that they really will cherish because, you know, the only loss for them came to Iran in the first encounter, which, you know, they sort of knew was happening. But since then, it was 4 back-to-back solid wins versus Poland, Kenya, the USA and Japan. And, you know, they finish second in Pool B, or rather top of Pool B ahead of Iran, despite their poor start. And that's quite an achievement to finish top of that pool.
We've seen stars emerging throughout this World Cup and across teams, but one who is really putting his hand up now is Tonkam, third Super 10 of the whole competition.
Yeah, I mean, he's only 24 years old, but he shows remarkable maturity in guiding this young squad. And he's already had a bronze medal at the 2014 Asian Games and the 2016 Asian Beach Games, and he likes to look for that bonus point. He really tries to rattle the opposition by not allowing them to pull away to a big lead either. And, you know, he's got the support of Konkan Chanjaron, who's this right corner with impressive reading skills as well. He's a very safe defender. He takes his time to go for the tackles, but he's also brilliant with that pursuit. So, you know, they've got a really young side. They're the youngest side in the Kabaddi World Cup, but so much skill.
So going into the semi-finals, just briefly, who from the two Pool B qualifiers will be happiest with the scenario? Will Iran be happy they've avoided India? Are Thailand just thrilled because they've made it? I mean, it's a funny old mix-up, Pool B.
Yeah, I think both of them will be happy, but Iran will be thrilled that they've avoided India in the semi-final. I don't think India or Iran wanted to play each other in the semis. I think that's a match made for the final, isn't it, in many ways? So, you know, I think they'll be glad to not play each other in many ways. But the Republic of Korea, remember, topped the group, have not lost, beat India in the opener. So Iran can't take them lightly. They would be silly to take the Republic of Korea lightly, especially from what we've seen from Jiang Kunlin.
Fab, right, we're going to do a quick in and out of. We will be back with another podcast on the day of the semi-finals. But today, Sahel, it's in and out of an empty raid.
Well, the empty raid is simply a raid where you do not pick up any points. It's quite a tactical move sometimes when a contest is heading in one direction and you're trying to slow the pace of the game down. But an empty raid essentially is when a raider goes in, you still have to cross the mandatory balk line, which makes the raid legal or sort of just legalizes the entire raid. But at the end of the day, if you do not pick up any points from your raid, it counts as an empty raid and you're only allowed two successive empty raids because the third one becomes a do-or-die raid where you must score points.
Fantastic. And of course, a do-or-die raid was what we spoke about in the last in and out of. Brilliant stuff, Sahel. Now, we will be back, as I say, with a semi-final preview released on Friday just before the semi-finals. For now, download at In and Out Kabaddi Podcast. Subscribe to us as well on iTunes or on Blubbery. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at In and Out Kabaddi or at Sahel Chanduk, at Dan Strange TV. We're both on Twitter, we're both on Instagram. We'll be back with plenty more action and the preview about the semi-finals. Sahel, again from us though, it's goodbye for now.
Been a pleasure. See you soon, guys. One day I'll say